friends and professionals. We are live in Fort Collins in Colorado for a special episode of the Modern Lending Podcast. I'm your host, Alec Hansen. I'm here with Lisa Gustafson.
Hello.
So many of you that are following my shenanigans on social media know that I'm doing this fun thing called the Road to 100 Million. And I'm taking 28 people from anywhere from $35 million to $70 million producers. And we're driving in a 6-month program to make them $100 million producers. That's going from where they are today to $8 million a month, 8.3. Just shut up if you do math. A month to get to 100 million a year. It's a huge milestone. It's very hard to accomplish. And loan officers that can accomplish $100 million are jewels in this industry because the amount of dedication, commitment, teamwork, and just resiliency required to do that is insane. And so I decided to pair what I'm doing with those crazy people with a special season of the Modern Lending Podcast, bringing on actual people who have done this, not just once, but like repeatedly accomplish this insane task. And so I've known the Gustafsons my entire life because of my dad. So my whole life, I've known the Gustafsons. These guys are incredible human beings. They're in Fort Collins in Colorado. I'm in their office today physically. We put up our mobile podcast setup. Mikey in the back over there is killing it. And we see your questions live too. So if you have questions, you can dive in. But thanks for hanging with us either now or in the future. Lisa, what's up?
Thanks for coming to Fort Collins.
And forcing you onto the podcast. Yeah, you're like, we're going live. So let's start with a couple questions, just some ballpark ones for people. Number one, I know listeners want to take away tidbits of like, how do I become what you are? I know that that's in people's heads, but let's start with like the fun stuff of like, how did you get into the crazy industry? Because it's wild. Yeah, and how did you get in here?
So right out of college, I was in a management trainee program for a bank, and it was moving pretty slow, not a ton of opportunities, and was just kind of boring. And I'd always loved real estate, and I just kind of came across a program that was hiring for mortgage originators. And I thought, what a perfect mix of, I love finance, I always have, and I love real estate. And so for me, it was the perfect mix. And it also let me chart my own path as far as being a full commission job instead of waiting for, you know, the.
So how would you describe the personality needed to do what you do?
Perseverance.
Yeah. No kidding, right? Yep. Like one word, like the ability to push through.
Absolutely.
So how long have you been in the business?
I think 23 years.
Which is amazing because you're 29. So that's just like how you did that is incredible. So let me ask you this question. I think this is almost equally important of how you found it. What makes you stay in this industry? Because it's hard and it's painful and there's cycles and there's insanity.
Right.
What makes you stay?
Well, we always say that you just can never leave. There's like not so even true. A choice. It's like, I don't know why, but people, once they're in, they seem to be lifers, but I love it. I love the how dynamic it is, how many different things we do in a day. We do marketing, we do loans, we meet people, we meet realtors. Just the number of people.
So much variety.
Yeah. But also I love helping people get into houses. I mean, this is the greatest way to build wealth in the United States is by home ownership. So it's fun, but it also has a huge purpose for society as well.
And I can tell just by watching you talk about it, how connected you are to that purpose. Yep. Like otherwise, why would you stay in the pain if it wasn't having a deep, fulfilling part of in your soul?
Yep.
Do you remember the first year you funded over 100 million? It's a weird question.
Vaguely, because I think I was working.
Yeah. What are you vaguely?
I remember. There was no work remote, so and I had small children at the time.
Yes, so of course.
I remember having to drive into the office to do any work.
Yes.
You really could do almost nothing at home. So I remember, you know, leaving my house when we were talking at lunch in the 4:15, 4:30 in the morning, getting to work and, you know, getting it all in so that I could still leave, you know, right at 5 and pick the kids up and go home. So it was a whirlwind, much less flexibility. So I feel like we're kind of spoiled now that.
So I do want to talk about team structure at some point. I do want to talk about kind of how you built, because obviously getting this place, you don't do it alone.
Right.
But I want to, I want to first give you a chance to share with people that want to try to accomplish this, what you think they're going to have from a mindset perspective to kind of achieve this. Like what other headspace has to be in to get this done?
Well, I always call myself the tortoise. Which isn't super sexy, but you know, you have to just keep showing up and doing the things you know you need to do every day, day in and day out, even when it's hard, even when you don't want to.
Yes.
And I think perseverance, just, you know, every day.
It's that level of consistency, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
Do you have any tricks on what helps with consistency? Because that's like diet and exercise. Like you got to do it every day. Like, do you have anything that like helps you do that? Ryan just put a turtle up on the emoji up there.
I think I'm a little bit lucky because I think it is a little bit of my personality. Like I just kind of, if I say I'm going to do something, I have that little nine that just makes me do it. And so I'm pretty disciplined that way. But I think if you love what you do and you actually, if you have goals set and you can see that if you just do those tasks every day, you'll get to there. It makes it pretty attainable.
Let's talk about your team for a few minutes.
Okay.
How has it evolved over time? You know, like think back and like even share maybe some stories about when it was like, I had to fix this. I didn't go the way I wanted it to go. Like, let's kind of unpack this for people because it's a it's a progress.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you'll laugh because when I first started doing this and at the volumes I did, people didn't have teams.
Right.
Right. Yep. So even getting an assistant was a big deal.
Like, and by the way, let's just clarify because obviously when Fort Collins, I said that units, 100 million, what's your average, how many units a year to get you 100 million typically?
Over 300.
Yeah. So depending on so we know how much velocity we're talking here. Right. It's not, you know, jumbo Newport Beach where you do seven loans and you're there.
Exactly. Yeah. So and I've always done, you know, I've always done new construction and it's always been, you know, kind of the lower end of the price point. So there's always been a lot of units. So when I first started, just even having an assistant was not really a thing.
Not what you did.
Yeah.
So, you had processors.
Yeah, you had processors, right. But every phone call that came in, every, you know, so I was finally able to build a team and I had probably three or four different kind of assistants on my team. But still me taking every loan application, you know, just really doing almost everything on the front end. And so then as it evolved over the years and as I think as the industry evolved, we were able to, you know, kind of hire everything so that I was really just the contact with the customer, building the relationship with the customer and the realtor. And then the other items did fall to other people. So it's ebbed and flowed over the years as we've had more and less technology. But in general, I'm structured as me, two dedicated production assistants.
Yep.
And then I have two to three junior LOs that are all LOs on their own, but then they help with my overflow and kind of with the builder accounts.
So just to kind of clarify for somebody listening, dedicated production assistants too.
Yep.
And then two to three loan officers that are their own loan officers.
Right.
But that will come in when you tap them on the shoulder and say, hey,
yep,
I've got 2000 prequals.
Yeah.
You know, can you help me with these things? Yep, and then you manage that.
Yep.
And is that the end stage? You feel like you've solved it or you still
definitely we're definitely figuring that out and adding. We just added a third kind of support person who's helping me with my outward calls to previous customers.
Yeah.
Database calling, which I've needed. I should have done that 10 years ago.
So you're seeing a $100 million producer continuing to like fix and maneuver her craft.
Yeah.
Which I kind of, that was a kind of a setup question because I know you're doing that.
Yeah.
But I think that's important because, you know, Lisa's somebody who's never, it's not never satisfied. It's just always progressing. And I think that's a really good perspective that everyone should understand that you're still trying to drive innovation into your business.
Always.
Do you have any tips and tricks for somebody who's new to the business that is coming in right now? Which is ironic because there are brand new people coming in,
It's a great time to come in.
Why do you say that?
This is where all the opportunity is.
Why do you say that? I want to hear your perspective on that.
Well, every time when the market gets too easy, you get a million people in there.
Yep.
And when it gets hard, a lot of them leave. And those who stay usually have big growth in their business if you're willing to stick it out and stick through the rougher times.
It's totally true.
So, I mean, I there's more opportunity now than there was last year for sure.
So you mentioned you do a significant amount of new construction. How did you find that business and how did you get in there? Cause that's different than resale.
Yeah. Well, this is going way back.
That's okay. Let's go back.
Through my days. They had a position, which I was actually hired for, called a branch builder specialist. And so that was what your focus was new construction.
Yep.
So they trained us on that. And
what'd they train you to do?
Learn how to manage a borrower's qualification for 12 months.
Yeah, that's very important.
For 12 months through different jobs, interest rates, and also build relationships with on-site salespeople and, you know, not just the builder, but everyone else down the line. But so I came in as a branch builder specialist. So I've always done builder. And really, honestly, once I had success with kind of my first local builder, then my reputation spread. And I actually had other builders calling me you know, wanting to talk to us about doing business because we had a great reputation for.
It's like their nirvana for loan officer. Like when they get referred around to other like really impactful referral partners.
Yep.
What do you think was the key to the success that led to that opportunity?
I think it's really just consistency again. And, you know, obviously being good at your trade, if you talk to somebody and they don't qualify, then, you know, you need to let the business partner know right away.
Yes.
Or, you know, if you can get them to qualify, and that's a great skill too, but everybody needs to know what we're doing to get them to qualify so that, you know, everybody's on the same page. So,
how would you, if someone came to you today and said, Lisa, I want to get builder business. Mm-hmm. What do you say to them?
Well, it's tough.
Yes. No kidding. Of course.
Right now, a lot of builders have joint ventures.
Yes.
Right. So
more so than ever. Yeah.
You could definitely go down that path.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to do that, you've got to find local builders and build relationships with them, show them.
So let's get tactical. Like what does that mean? Like how do you do that?
It's well, HBA would be one way.
Yes.
To build a local relationship with the builder. Yeah. You know, it's really different because some of our builder relationships came from, we knew the salespeople because they had been realtors in the market.
Yes.
And then the salesperson goes to work for a builder.
Yes.
So now you're in with the builder. But I mean, really for me, it's been local connections. I've been in the community, been doing business for 23 years, and you just, through all the affiliations you have, you know the builders, you know their salespeople, and they move companies, and then sometimes you get to go with them because you have that relationship. So,
you know, that's such a core message that I want to just reiterate for people to hear. Longevity and relationships is what helps great people like Lisa win. You know, it's not a light switch moment. You didn't go out to one community, meet a person. These are people that you've had relationships for how long with?
Two of our biggest builders, 20 years.
Decades.
Yeah.
So you don't just turn on the light switch. You don't show up with bagels one day and you're in.
Right.
You've got to deal with their in-house lender if they have one. You got to deal with competition, who's walking in there too.
Yep.
And you got that perseverance, that stick with-itness.
Yeah. Well, you've got to be with them through the really rough times, the 2008s, you know?
Yeah.
It's longevity and just consistency. It really is.
That's where the turtle comes into play. You're always in the race.
Yep.
Tortoise in the hare, never leaving the race.
Yep.
And I think that you made a good point earlier. There's a lot of loan officers this year and the last year who look like the hare, mm-hmm. and they're falling asleep now. They think they're amazing and they're going to be out of the race.
Yep.
And it's the ones that just keep plodding, keep building relationships, stay in it. Yep. You're right. They're going to inherit the next cycle.
Right. It really is.
Let's talk about social media since we're alive on a podcast and some stuff. When it's obviously become more of a intentional strategy on your part. I've watched you start to come out more in that space. Mm-hmm. Walk everyone through kind of your journey in that how you perceived it, what it means to you today. Because there's a lot of people still that are I don't know, on their own journey with it.
Yeah.
And so give everybody a little insight into what yours looks like.
Okay. Well, I think when we started, we do Ignite Girls, which I do with two other loan officers in our office. And when we started, it was really a way to spotlight that we're local.
Yes.
To differentiate ourselves by the local originators. And in doing so, we also spotlight a lot of local businesses. And so it's fun. I mean, really.
It's fun.
It's fun.
You guys are having fun.
Yeah.
I'm watching. You're connecting local businesses. You're, you know, drinking a glass of wine or mm-hmm. eating some appetizers and goofing around, but also delivering cool information.
Yeah. Well, and it was really fun during COVID because it was a great way to get together and see them. And so it was kind of our, you know, respite away from, you know, being stuck in your house and not seeing people. Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. And then also we do a part that's educational as well. So we do both, but we tried doing just the educational and we're like, this is boring. We need to go back and do the fun. So I think a big part of it is as much for us as it is for what we're putting out there, because we do get to go out and see new local places and see each other. And just
what's been your experience in that process? Because I would say you've been doing it now for at least a year plus, maybe a year and a half.
Probably two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's been your personal experience with that, from comfortableness with it, video? Is there a business? Are there connections, relationships being made? What did you personally experience?
Yeah, it's funny because the first time we went, we got to the restaurant, we went to a little wine bar and we practiced what we were going to say
like
17 times before we recorded it. And then we had the menu memorized and it was really long and probably painfully boring. And And we probably recorded it four times, five times. I don't even know. By then we were probably just drinking the wine.
Yes, but then you're very relaxed now.
Yeah. And now when we go out, we very, very rarely record it twice. I mean, unless somebody really messes up, it's one shot. It's whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
It's authentic. If we screw up, we screw up. And that's the other thing I think it's really made us, and it's let me show my customers that kind of funnier, lighter side of me, you know, more.
Yeah. The
more
humanization human. Side.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. They realize you're not just a total mortgage, you know, just right. that you're multifaceted. Right. You got things you
right.
care about.
Right. And we are, I mean, I'm a kind of silly person. I laugh at myself a lot. So I think that was probably not really something I connected with to my customer base until we did social media. So.
And do your customers say, I saw you on this or really you're talking to you, like, I just saw you at the Ignite Grills.
Right. Yeah. We get a lot of comments on the Ignite Grills and that they saw us on there, and yeah, still get a lot of comments from like our moms and as well, but you know,
you know, don't downplay mom's comments. Right. But at the same time, it's still human connection.
It is. Right. And you don't know when those human connections are going to come up again in a business sense. I mean, it could be 2 years, 3 years, where your paths are going to cross again. You're just always laying the framework, you know, for your future relationships and just being part of your community. So
let's do this. What's a day in the life of Lisa look like? Like a normal day, like, you know, what time are you up? What time are you into the works? What time are you, let's just unpack it here. Cause you know, if someone wants to do what you do, then they got to do what you do.
All right. Well, and this has changed. This has evolved, but I usually start about 5:15, 5:30, you know, cup of coffee, big glass of water. I have to get my water in.
Yes.
Do some returning emails, kind of getting my day put together from about 5:30 till sometimes 6:30, 7:30, 8:30, just depending upon, you know.
Clearing up stuff.
Yeah. And I always say that anything that I need to get done during the day, I have to do before 8:00 in the morning. Otherwise, it won't get done. Because in this business, you don't know.
If you're going to get calls.
You're going to get a pre-call. Yeah. Yeah. You just don't know. Right. So you got to hit the philosophy. Ground ready
I like
to
that
go.
Philosophy.
Yeah. So if I don't have it done by the time by 8 or by the time I get in the office, there's a good chance that it's 3-4 o'clock and it's still not done. So I take care of all those that I haven't done the night before, if that's the case. Go into the office, have appointments. You know, we're doing a lot of coffee talks, social media, all of that's kind of during the day.
Speaking of appointments, how many apps or appointments or customer interactions are you having a day?
It really varies on the day.
That's true. But like if you had to kind of
like brand new apps, probably 3 appointments a day. Yeah. And you know, with that, I'm doing either if it's face-to-face, we're doing the total cost analysis and everything face-to-face. If it's on the phone or Zoom, then I'm preparing it and then sending the video and sending that back out.
By the way, I love this. I want you all to hear this. So on all your quotes and interactions with customers, how many of them receive a personalized video of you in that process?
Over 90%.
Yeah. That's killer.
Yeah.
That's killer. I mean, obviously COVID created an environment where getting face-to-face was difficult.
Right.
But now I think customers too, I mean, if they don't want to come in, then you got to figure out how to get face-to-face with them.
Yeah. You have to figure out a way to build more than a paper relationship.
Do people ever comment on it?
Oh yeah. All the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, like what do they say?
That was great. That was so helpful. Yeah. I've never seen that before, which I think is crazy because.
Right. You think it's so accessible.
Yeah.
You think every loan officer out there should be recording videos and sending their customers.
Right.
And they don't.
Right. And it's funny because I just had a realtor. I sent one to him instead of the client recently because he's kind of the intermediary on this particular client. And he's like, wow, that's great. Do you do this for all your clients? And I'm like, all your clients. And I have been for 10 years. So, probably something we could.
When did you start doing that?
I think it's been about 8 or 9 years.
Really?
Yeah. After one of Todd Duncan's.
It triggered for you. Like, I got
to
do this.
It was, you know, you make your to-do list. I'm going to implement 2 or 3 things from the seminar. That was one of my things. And I came back and I just made myself do it.
This is killer. Yeah. I feel like it's a best practice that so many people should adopt immediately.
Yeah.
So if they take one thing away from today, just send videos of yourself.
Yep.
Okay. So back to day in the life. So you do about 3 applications, 3 consultations, quotes, et cetera. Yep. How late do you work per day?
That varies. What I try to do is I try to leave, hit a workout on the way home, get home. Gene and I argue about whose night it is, cook dinner.
Yes, of course. We got to have tradition.
Yeah. Yeah. We try to do like 6 to 8 where we make our 17-year-old son interact with us, which
force a, like a family dinner, yeah. Like we are talking.
Right. Yeah. So we usually maybe get him for dinner and then maybe 20 or 30 minutes after, but you know, we try to force.
Can I ask you an off the record question? Do they ever tell you real stuff? Because my 10-year-old, when I go, how's your day? He goes, it's stuff back. Yeah. Do they ever tell you actual things?
If you say, how
things?
Was your day? They're going to say good.
Yes, so you have to ask good. Really specific stuff. Questions. That's what
yeah.
I get.
Yeah. I probably shouldn't say that off the record, right? Yeah. Whatever's going on with our son, we don't really get from him, but he'll tell our daughters. And then I get it out of our daughters. So.
The secret's now out there in yeah. the internet.
But I know he won't ever watch it.
Yeah, exactly. So. You're safe. Mom, that's embarrassing, Mom.
Yeah, exactly.
So then do you clock back in at night?
Yeah, usually I do.
Did you just gotta?
Yeah, usually depending. I mean, obviously if we're doing something, we're doing something, but a lot of times I will work again for, maybe an hour or so again after that. So,
yeah. Yep. So I know you all can hear it, but like the work ethic of this woman is unbeatable. I mean, you're going to have to, there's a reason she's done 300 plus loans a year for a long time. She just outworks the competition. Plus, she's obviously very intelligent. She knows the guidelines. She cares about customers. She's leveraging technology. So it's like the full package. But you know, you had to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I want to wind down the conversation is, you know, I like to give people hope. You know, sometimes they see, Lisa, your accomplishments and it's very overwhelming. And they're like, I could never do that. Mm-hmm. And some don't have the discipline to do that. And I get that too. But like, you know, there are people that do, and there is going to be the next generation of $100 million producers as they come through. And, you know, so I'd like you to share a little bit more of your journey and process. Like, when did things click for you? When do you feel like you had little breakthroughs? What was it like, you know, becoming Lisa?
Trying to think. So I was doing okay. I was at Bank One, which is now Chase, doing okay. And then I came over to Countrywide, which just had a lot more opportunity.
Yeah, more and, product. And, more. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the market timing helped a lot too, right? I hit my stride right when the market was really growing.
But I want to be fair that everyone else could have hit their stride and a lot of people didn't.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, market is great.
Yeah.
But then why wasn't everybody killing it? And so it's not just take that too. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I had my target list of realtors. I mean, back then, I think our business partners were more limited to realtors, where now I think you can really focus on a lot of different places to get your business. I mean, really, that's really changed. But I had my target and I had to go see them every week, however it was.
No matter what.
Taking a flyer. Yeah. I mean, I would go to a lot of open houses on the weekends because that was a great way to, they were sitting there, not like open houses today where you have 80 people through.
This is a moment in time.
Yeah.
And this too shall change.
Right.
But I love that the message, which is, you know, you went out relationship consistently to build relationships.
Yeah, and I'm a very shy person, so it was not comfortable. It wasn't fun.
Well, let's unpack that a little bit, because how did you deal with that then?
I had a boss that said, you have to make this many calls a week.
And, yeah, I was forced. That's how I did
it. I'm also a very honest person, so I would never, you know, if I didn't make the calls, I would have never said I made the call. So that forced me to make them, and then they get easier, right? And you have some success.
They definitely get easier. They learn your name. It's not as terrible.
Yeah, you get a deal from them. Mm-hmm. You know, they're introducing you to another realtor in the office. Yep. And then a lot of times, you know, you think you have this competition that's so huge, but then the competition kind of just gives up. Like a lot of people just don't have longevity, and then you're there and they're not. So,
you know, I was even in the coaching program I'm doing, I hear all the time from realtors, no one's out soliciting me.
Yeah.
Top realtors, like big dogs. Yeah. And you'd think they're the top of the list because you can find their numbers now. You can see them everywhere.
Yep.
And we make this up in our own heads about what we think's happening. Yep. And it's not happening that way.
Yep.
It's fascinating how you experience the same thing. Do you have a breakthrough moment in your career? Maybe several, but is there anything?
Yeah,
that
I remember there was a local builder, John Giuliano, who was like legendary. He was like the biggest local builder back in the early 2000s. And I picked up the phone one day and he was on the phone and he said he had heard great things about me and he wanted to interview me for his next subdivision. And
you just called him.
He called me.
He called you.
He called me. But it was after we'd had success with other builders and he knew our name. And and so I just remember.
That's so validating.
Yeah. Well, and then in that market at that time, when I had that account, I instantly had credibility with every realtor in town because that was a tough account. It was a tough builder. And that was the moment I really remember, like people all of a sudden when I'd call, they would know my name, or they would, you know, be more willing to talk to me. And
so we have a comment on here from Dan Hansen. Great interview with a career professional. Such a valuable insight into Lisa and her mortgage success. Dan's another legend in the business.
Yes, he is. He was not my boss who used to make me go out and make calls every day. He was my nicer boss. Yeah.
So, boss. Really, on that note, with the boss accountability, what to what level of attribution do you give that accountability to your success? I mean, was it
huge,
massive?
Yeah, you have to do the things that that nobody else wants to do.
Yeah.
To earn the business, and so I mean, we would make handmade flyers. We would, I mean, just silly little things to get out and get.
No, I want to go on this. I don't think this is silly. So you would be going out to meet agents. And when you say silly little handwritten flyers, like, what does that mean? Give me a specific one. What do you remember?
We had one candy bars, you know, we would take out, I think when rates fell, there's a candy bar that is.
Well, there's $100,000.
$100,000, but there's something when rates fell below 8. We took out this some sort of candy bar, and I can't remember what the logo was. Score, yeah. And we would
just hand them out,
and just hand them out. Yeah. And we would just always have, you know, something that we would find relevant that week, or just kind of. I partnered with another loan officer in my office, and we would kind of do the marketing stuff together. And
so newsletters. So you partnered. So you had a partner with that. Mm-hmm. I noticed you have partners obviously that are here now that you go out and do the social with.
Yep.
What should people get? How did that help you to have partners?
Well, I think for social media, it makes it a little bit more fun. It makes it a little bit more dynamic. It's
like
a little
that.
Easier to watch.
Yeah. Mikey's looking up candy bars. We'll see if he finds it or not.
It's if you're a shy person or if you're not that creative, you know, having other people help you come up with it. We also do things here in the branch. We do mix. So we send out monthly marketing pieces.
Yep.
And again, we get together as a branch and we come up with those so that everybody doesn't have to
not alone.
Think of it. Yeah, you're not alone. And we're not just recreating the wheel every month. And some things don't match up with some people's personalities, so they don't send them out.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of pick and choose. But yeah, it's always more fun to do it in a group.
So I love the accountability. I love the teamwork and the fun. And then I want to go back to the shy comment one more time. Because a lot of people think sales, you got to be super extroverted. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big introvert. And so people they tell me I'm a liar for that too.
Yeah. I don't think anybody probably believes that.
That's a lie. But when we talk about you being shy, you used accountability to break through. Mm-hmm. But what was underneath that? Was there a competitive nature?
Yeah,
like what?
Super, super competitive.
So was that like a fire, even though you were shy? Mm-hmm. You're like, I'm still going to overcome this.
I'll remember a deal that I lost for 6 or 8 months or a year or
that's the other thing. If you're trying to become a $100 million producer, just get ready to have loan mares where you wake up in the middle of the night thinking about a loan file. That's going to happen. Just embrace it. That's a real thing.
Yeah. So I truly believe that I do it better than anyone else. And so I want to win every deal. So obviously
what I love about that is I think conviction sells. And I think that even when I was 23, brand new in the business, I was convicted and convinced in my heart that I was going to work harder than anybody else, that I would figure it out and solve it. And you can see it in how Lisa describes herself, just that I know I'm better than anybody else. I will serve better. And that kind of conviction is a core part of what makes somebody an extremely talented performer, because they just believe it. They know it.
Yeah. Well, and we always do what's best for the customer. Long-term, not short-term, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of times we'll tell a customer, no, you should not refinance, even though 20 people are telling them they should. You know, those numbers don't make sense. And I think long-term, that's how you win clients. That's how you win customers for life. And so when I say I'm better, I mean, I feel like I take care of my customers.
That's a great clarification, Lisa, because I've known you for a long time, and there's unhealthy and healthy ego. You know, unhealthy ego is someone who machismo, walk around, I'm better than everybody else. And that's not how Lisa's talking, and that's not how she believes. But there's the healthy ego, which understands that I recognize how hard I work. I recognize that how much I care. Yeah. And that is an empowerment to you in your business versus this, I'm better than everybody else.
Yeah. And my team. My team is going to take absolute great care of the customer. And
100%.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we wrapped it all up. Let's go. Let's end with one more thing. You said it before, but I want you to kind of share it again. What's your why in being in this industry and doing what you do? Because as much as we can talk about tactics and cool social media strategies and consistency, relentlessness, you know, I think without the why, all those things kind of fall off at some point. Mm-hmm. And for somebody who's trying to be a $100 million producer, I want them to hear this as kind of the foundation
Yeah.
You know, and you've had years to think about it and establish it. Yeah. So what is it to you?
I mean, I think at the end of the day, I'm a motivated person to do some sort of career, but this industry that allows us to help so many people makes it easy to work that hard.
Yeah.
Because when you think about, oh, should I go home and work on that or not? Or maybe I'll just not do that. And then you think about what's at stake for them.
The human on the side. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's they're not going to get their house if you don't do your job, or they're not going to get their interest rate locked if you haven't reached out to them at the right times, or if you haven't educated them, you know, they might pay more. All of those things just keep me up at night, that we have to do the very best for our customers. And for personally, for me, the flexibility of the job has let me, I mean, we work a lot of hours, we work a lot, but I also never missed a basketball game with my kids. I mean, so that's the other why for me, is just having that flexibility to help my family too.
Yep. You're awesome, Lisa. You're an inspiration to so many people. It's so fun watching you do what you do. So congratulations. And thanks for hanging out with us today.
Yeah. Thanks for visiting our state.
Yes. Friends, we will see you on the next Live Modeling Podcast. Thank you for hanging out with us today. We'll see you on the internet. Have a wonderful day. Take care.